Welcome, everybody. This is Katie Lear. I am the convention chair. Welcome, everyone, to our 71st annual FCB convention. This is our fourth hybrid convention. And what we want to do today is we want to give thanks to our ACB media team who have helped so tremendously with getting this all set up for us. Cecily is our room opener and our monitor. I will be hosting this section. And what I want to do, first of all, before we get started, is I want to thank John Richards, who is in this room with me. He is monitoring our Zoom board. And when the convention is over, he's going to do all of our podcasts for us, and they will be put up on the website. Without further ado, I would like to introduce to you Annette Carter. Annette is our new Zoom website administrator. She started with us in February. And basically, we built our whole website because Erlene retired and there was a major crash. So a lot of it had to be redone. And she's changed a lot of it. And that is going to explain what she's done and how it looks. So take it away, Annette.
Okay. Thanks, Katie. So some of you know me a little bit from different affiliates, but I'll tell a little bit about myself so you know where I come from and how I got into this thing with website developing. So first, I went down my page. a lot of people ask me if I was born blind or if I became blind. And my answer is yes to both, because I was born blind with two conditions, severe myopia, which is nearsightedness, and severe astigmatism, which is the cornea surface is wavy instead of smooth, which produces blurring in and out and difficulty focusing on anything. I had partial correction from age 4 with very thick glasses, then more correction at age 10 with hard contact lenses because glasses weren't good enough to correct my vision. I wasn't considered blind with correction. However, I still couldn't see the things that my siblings saw. Then a major problem happened at age 19, where an ophthalmologist fitted me with lenses that were too tight and gripped my corneas. The contacts are supposed to float on a layer of tear. So that caused laceration, mutilation, and ulcerations on my eyes. After recovering from that, I couldn't wear the hard lenses anymore because my eyes were permanently sensitized. So I went to soft lenses that didn't correct the astigmatism at all. So things blurred in and out a lot. But they did allow me to continue to drive a car. I kind of faked it through the vision test and was very careful. So I went back to work. I continued living the, quote, sighted life, although I was vision impaired. With correction, I was not vision impaired enough to receive any services that were available at that time. Then after another dip in vision at the end of 1997 and enduring daily intense pain in my eyes, I knew I needed to not put those contacts in one more day because of all the pain, even though they were the soft lenses. So my thinking was, I know I'm blind and can function inside my home. And I was still young. I was age 43. So I hadn't lived half of my life yet. But how was I going to continue working? So I searched for how to learn skills to be blind outside my home. One of the best things I've done for myself is to attend the School for the Blind in Denver, Colorado, near where I lived. I didn't know such a thing existed. I told them I wanted to learn everything, travel skills, braille, computer, kitchen skills, etc. And they said, okay, great. This will take you 18 months. And I said, great. Then at 5.5 months, they said, Annette, there's nothing more we can teach you. You know enough to teach the students now. So after learning my blind skills, my career interests changed in 1998 to work in the fields of disability, aging, accessibility, and advocacy. Previously, since 12th grade, I worked in banking. And then on the side, I designed wedding gowns and then taught country western dance, and I was a competition judge. So along the way, I had been making little scripture booklets with my own commentary, each having a different theme, God's love for you and through you, joy, peace. They were spiral bound with a vinyl cover. I gave them away to friends and other people I thought would enjoy them. So in 2009, so many people started telling me I should be selling them. After so many people told me that, I thought, well, if I do this, nobody will know the books exist unless I had a website. But I didn't yet know how to design a website. I knew I was a very quick learner, but I hadn't learned that yet, and I thought I would like to learn. So as chance would have it, that very same day in the mail came a course catalog that included classes in HTML, PHP, and CSS. Those are the three coding languages needed to make a full interactive website with all the functionality you could need. So I signed up for all the classes, put my screen reader, which was System Access at the time, on a thumb drive and took the classes. Yes, I ended up needing to instruct the teacher about website accessibility. And yes, he answered, but these websites are not for the blind. At least when I explained more, even though he never understood, the students heard it. So later I found in his course syllabus where he copied information right from the web accessibility guidelines that said what I was telling him, but I guess he still didn't understand. So I graduated as a master website developer. And then before I got a chance to build a website for myself, I volunteered for a Christian online ministry, creating and formatting their weekly schedule of programming, started hosting and moderating some of the meetings, and then did some audio editing before I posted them. Then I saw an email from one of the ACB special interest affiliates, CCLVI, looking for a volunteer webmaster and applied and was hired. They asked me if I knew Drupal, which I hadn't heard of yet because I learned to code from scratch. And Drupal is a what's called a CMS, content management system, kind of like WordPress. It includes a set of PHP-driven modules that you choose, put together, but to do a good website, you need to know a lot of code anyway for using Drupal. But I knew code well, so I learned it, and I learned it very quickly, revamped their website, giving them functionality not seen on most other websites even today. So word got out of my skills, and when it came for ACB to enter into a new webmaster contract, I was encouraged to apply for the RFP and was hired. I did that for years until a medical crisis necessitated me being full-time day and night caregiver for the two friends, husband and wife, or else they would have died. Their special needs were very many and no one else could take care of them. So I gave a 1 month notice to ACB because a lot of my time would have been, you know, day and night, and I needed, I was to work 20 hours and a lot of that was daytime hours. So I knew I wouldn't be available. I couldn't guarantee that I would be available for those hours. So then I kept the smaller affiliate websites I had, as they didn't take a lot of time at all. And after time went on, different affiliates approached me to do their websites. Since none require the 20 hours, like I said, that, you know, I was able to handle them. I now have 12 blindness related websites, most of which are ACB affiliates. Some were new builds for those who had never had a website. The others are rescues. Some were suddenly left without a webmaster. Some were unhappy with what they had, and their webmaster wasn't able to make the website accessible or provide features needed. So many had broken links, page not found, and poor organizational navigation. So now that brings me to this talk on what has changed on the FCB website. So first I'll talk about what the FCB.org was like when I first encountered it, and then the changes I've made. Keep in mind that I'm talking to groups of people that are accessing the website one of three ways, either with screen reader only, visually, or with low vision. So when I use terms that sound like I'm talking about it visually, I will also talk about low vision and screen reader users. So to be patient as you hear words that sound like I'm talking to another group. So prior to January 2024, for navigation, if you were a screen reader user, you needed to read past all of the front page content to get to the main menu. So it was difficult to find what you needed. The front page had some very long text that you needed to get past, and there were no accessibility tools for low vision users, and I'll talk more about that later. There were a number of page not found, and for some reason there was a CAPTCHA that site visitors needed to get past to find information. If you wanted to find something on the website, you would go to the search feature and you need to get past the math test. Example, 1 + 3 = what? So, but CAPTCHAs aren't normally implemented. They're only implemented where there is proprietary or private area of a website and that shouldn't be visible to the public. So it wasn't necessary, used improperly and restrictive. So then there were visually inconsistencies of font size, style throughout the website, making it visually difficult. The fonts were, some fonts were very large and some were very small. All pages had node numbers. You don't have to remember that word node. It shouldn't have been there in the first place. So for instance, it would be fcb.org/, and say you were on the membership page, it wouldn't say membership. It would say node/... And so the address bar didn't really say anything about what page you were actually reading. So if you, you know, navigated through the website, you're reading something, you can't go up there and figure out what page you're on. So a couple of things about using those node and numbers. Some of you have heard the term SEO or search engine optimization. If you were to go to Google or another search engine and type in, for instance, blind in Florida, say you're newly losing your vision, or vision loss in Florida, or vision loss in Florida, FCB membership, Florida Council membership, there aren't pages that say anything like that. They're just node numbers. So it wouldn't come up on the search. If you knew exactly FCB.org or Florida Council of the Blind exactly, it would float up further to the top of the first ones in the list that of your results, your search engine results. And Google search, when I did it, it appeared at number 29, which is the second or third page down. Search engine, they use an algorithm. And they rate you. They rate all of the websites in the world. And if it has stuff like node numbers and or isn't coded correctly, poor coding, it says it's not a credible. It sees you as not a credible website, and it penalizes you and pushes you down on the list. So when I went, I did a search like something like blindness in Florida, and I found Florida Division of the Blind, Florida Division of Blind Services, Florida Center for the Blind, agencies for the blind, and then a lot of companies that sold blinds for your windows. So now the next thing I saw were no online forms. Those are online web forms. They're like applications that you can do just by typing them in, and then it sends it to FCB, and then you get an email copy of the application you sent. The backend files and directories were not secure, and they were wide open to vulnerabilities. There was missing some proper outline formatting for things like the Constitution, bylaws, policy manual, and things. I'll get into that more in a moment. And then the last thing is a visual thing. When you have a website or several websites open in your browser, above the address bar should be the logo where it says your name, but there was just a ugly Drupal logo. Anyway, so now what the website has now. All the websites I do are called responsive. That means that they present well on all size screens, large monitors, laptops, excuse me, large monitors, laptops, tablets, and smartphones. And you can do anything on these, even smartphones, the same thing you can do in a computer, even filling in the forms and such. On the homepage, there's no long text. The homepage is made for short announcements and short blurbs that lead to full pages to read. So you can just skim down, you know, heading level, heading level, heading level, or visually go down, and you know what you're what you want to read, and you could jump to it. The main menu is first, before that, where it belongs. So the main menu are links like home, membership, et cetera, et cetera. So the screen reader users, of course, will hear these menu links. At the same time, another feature I put in here is for a mouse user. If you hover over the menu link, a little caption will appear telling what a screen reader hears. So if it, that's a nice little hint. If, say, there are two of you in the family, one uses screen reader, one uses mouse, or you use it part of the time, you can actually tell what the screen reader is going to say. And the reason this is important or helpful is when you do your menu items, they shouldn't be a lot of words in each menu item. For instance, membership, just saying the word membership, you know where you're going, that everything you need will be under there. However, for more explanation, it's on that page is the membership information and an application. So the screen reader will hear, the screen reader user will hear membership info and application. And so if a mouse user hovers over it, they're gonna see the little caption that says membership info and application. So it's nice and neat visually and hearing it. The About Us menu link has a sub menu because there's so much information on FCB. So it's logically categorized under About Us. You can reach all of this information in whatever way is easiest for you. There's several ways. One way is to just click on the About Us page, that menu link, and go to it. There are about 15 links or so of categories of interest. Another way is to use the submenu on the About Us menu bar and choose what you want to read, go down the submenu. And then in the case of organizational documents, there's a lot of things under that. So there's even a further submenu under that to choose what you want. So you don't have to navigate the submenu. You could just click on About Us and just go from there. Accessibility is all about options. You choose whatever is the easiest way to navigate. And then expanding on the low vision tools that I mentioned earlier, again, none of these features that I'm describing change accessibility for the screen reader user. On the website, when you look at the website, you've got your menu first. I told about that. And then you have your main content. That takes the most part of a page. And then you have blocks. And these blocks are your text size, page style, your search bar. And then in footer, it has how to contact FCB and also supporting FCB. All of these things you can navigate with your H for heading. They're heading level 2. You will hear to jump from section to section. So the text size tool is visually on the left sidebar. All sidebar and footer blocks have a thin border around them. You can increase and decrease your font size, and then it'll also tell you the current size. So it's defaulted at 100%. There are a couple of advantages to this tool with customizing the font. If you increase the size of the font, all of the text wraps within the borders of the content section. It doesn't go off the screen. If anybody maybe used to have vision or has low vision now, a lot of the websites, if it doesn't have a tool like this, and you try to use a tool that's like a Windows tool, it's a hint where you hold down your control and you roll your mouse forward, or you use the plus key, it'll make, as you enlarge it, it will go off the sides of the screen. So it's maddening. You can't see the words. So this tucks it all nicely within that border. It also maintains the white space between lines of text, not crowding it, making it unreadable. I've seen where other ones have this similar kind of tool, but they didn't code part of it right. So as the words are larger, they're over each other. So this doesn't have that. It keeps the white space between the lines of text. And then it will maintain your choice. Say you want to do 135%, and it will maintain that as you navigate the whole website. And then you could go back to standard at whenever you want. The next low vision tool is called Page Style. This gives you three options for foreground and background colors, then going back to standard. This tool also maintains your choice as you navigate through the website. The choices are black/white, which is white background with black letters, white/black, which gives you black background with white letters. This is my favorite. And yellow/blue, which gives you a blue background with yellow letters. And then when finished, again, you can go back to standard and then home. It's all about what's most comfortable for your eyes so that you have choices. All the color photos, the logo, the payment buttons, all of those remain true color. So one of the awesome things about these buttons, especially the color tool, the page style, is that the thin borders that I coded around all of the sections, they stay as you change from tool. If I didn't put those borders there, say I wanted the black background with the white letters, there'd be a whole lot of words there, but I wouldn't really be able to tell what's in the side block, what's in the main content, what's in the footer. So this is really helpful when you're looking at it in a more comfortable view for your eyes. And let's see, then the search tool is right after that. Again, you just go by H for heading level, and they're all heading level 2. So the search tool works as it should. You just type anything you want to search on the website, at least 3 letters long. So for example, if you want to find meetings or minutes, you just type that and hit enter. And it gives you a list of all the places that it appears on the website. And then you just go down and see what it is that you want to read. All of the features that the low vision tools provide has no effect on the screen reader usage. I believe I said that already. Navigation remains the same with the logical heading levels, links, photos, properly alt tagged, and descriptions as well. By the way, talking about photos and descriptions, since you're at convention and that have been to convention or other events, maybe a White Cane Day or something, if you have photos, please send them our way. I would love to fill out the website with more nice photos of you or others, your events, your chapter, even the banquet, whatever. So you could just use your smartphone while you're there. Or if you have something, you can send them on to Katie@FloridaCouncil@comcast.net. Remember, please, to say who's in it and what the picture is, and if you know approximately when it was, because I'd love to, let everybody know what this picture is of. So I'd love that. And then I created secure online web forms. Those are those online applications with confirmation emails. So when you fill it out, it lets you know on the screen, it says you have submitted your application and whatever the pertinent text is to that particular form. And then it immediately sends you an email of what you just submitted. So the online membership form has all the fields for you to submit the entire membership form, including if you are new or renewing, all your format choices, your chapter, special interest affiliate, etc. And then the scholarship form, first it has all the information about all the different types of scholarship opportunities and the requirements, then it continues on with the online form. And then the ACB stipend for the FCB members, this is still open until May 30th. So when you go to the website, when you get back from convention, you can just, the main page has a link to this ACB stipend for FCB members. So you still have time for that. The online convention pre-registration, some of you have already encountered that with all your options and choices. The next thing is proper outline formatting that I touched on earlier. For things like constitution, bylaws, policy manual, things like that. For visually, it is better because the text is tucked under the list number or letter, and the number or letter are down the left side of the screen, and so it's easier to scan down to whatever number or letter you want to go to. And for screen reader users, it doesn't see it as just run on text and then saying one dot, whatever. So now the PayPal, the payment option online is through PayPal. Of course, you can still send in your checks. The PayPal, there are now more buttons for payment with options configured right into the button. It eliminates you needing to go back and pay for a lot of things separately. When your payment is complete, I have it bringing you right back to the FCB website. If you decide not to go through with a particular transaction, it brings you back to a FCB website page that I created that verifies that your transaction was not complete. And if this was an error and you want to go back and complete it, you can go back and do that. So for convention online registration, you notice the choices configured into the button. The optional donations to cover the cost of convention, there's a button for that. And configured into that were the three choices plus a write-in field, as well as an option to cover the cost, the fee that PayPal charges if you'd like. That's optional. And then for exhibitor registration, there are online payment options for the profit exhibitors, the nonprofit exhibitors, and the chapter special interest exhibitors. And built into these are the option to pay the correct fee for the number of tables that you were requesting, the one or two tables. It's built right into the button. Remember, all the features are designed to make things easier. Accessibility means choices. And you could still write a check. Okay, downloadable documents. This is for all of the white cane bulletins. For instance, the convention program, the membership application, all the organizational documents, the bylaws, policy manual, you have choices, because that's what it's all about, right? Accessibility is choices. You can read down the online page, or you could download either MS Word or TXT file and read it on your computer or print it if you want. The White Cane Bulletin has everything that Katie sends out when the White Cane Bulletin comes out. She has the small print, large print, and TXT. So those are also links at the top of that White Cane Bulletin page, so you can download them as well as read down the page. It also has, let me go back to the TXT file. That is navigable because there's a star, star, star between articles. So the first sentence, when you open your TXT file, it says if you want to jump from section to section, you put that star, star, star on your copy it, and then search down the page if you want to jump to it. So it's not like just a bunch of words you can have to read all at once. You can navigate it. They also, of course, TXT can't do this, but in MS Word, and on the online webpage, there is a live table of contents. So the content table of contents are coded to jump. They're quick jump links that can go to the different articles. So besides downloading or reading down, you can read down your table of contents and say, oh, there's a recipe here. I want to run down to that one, or I want to see the minute. So you could just jump to it, go back to the top. So that's another feature that we have. So Katie, have I missed anything?
I had to wait for John to unmute me. I'm not sleeping.
I didn't think you were.
you have done an absolutely phenomenal job, and we're very impressed and we're pleased with this website. And that's why we asked you to come talk about it at the convention. So do we have any questions? I'm not seeing any in Zoom. No questions in the room.
Are there people in the room?
Yeah.
Good. I was teasing.
But remember, this will come out as a podcast too, so the people mm-hmm. who couldn't hear it today will get to hear it. Mm-hmm. Well, Annette, anything else you want to say?
No, if they think of a question, whatever, they can email you. And Katie's my go-to person. She's my point person. So we go through Katie. And so if you have anything, a suggestion or a thumbs up or whatever, email Katie and she'll get to me.
And I would be happy to do that. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and end the session. Again, thank you, Annette, so much. And
you're quite welcome.
We'll be in touch after convention. And I hope everybody enjoys the rest of the convention. Have a good day.